This is the Life Church Podcast.
And so we are in the series of prayer, and that's what we've been talking about. But I realize I'm going to have to kind of get you guys going this morning, because if you're like me, I could have been rolled here today. I am so stuffed. In fact, I really wrote in my notes right here at the very top, I said, I'm stuffed. As I was studying, as I was writing my notes out, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I feel lethargic. And as Tony said, you know, you think that you've had enough to eat for like weeks, and then you wake up the next morning, you're still hungry. What's up with that, you know? So anyways, well, we hope you had a very happy Thanksgiving, and we did. Great to have all of our kids with us and grandkids, and it was fantastic. But so, like I said, we're in a series called Kingdom Come, where we're talking about prayer. And, you know, there's a fundamental theology of the Christian church that has to do with the return of Christ, that when he returns, he will make all things new. Now, I know that that's an underlying feeling many of us might have as we navigate through life, right? As we navigate through life, we're faced with challenges, difficulties, whatever. And boy, if we could just have a new start, if something could just be different, if something could be new, you know, and that's the reality of when Jesus returns. And as Christ followers, we long for that, the fact that Jesus will come back and he will make all things new. His kingdom will be established, his rule and his reign will be established, and those are things that we long for, we want, that will happen one day soon. But in the meantime, we live kind of in the in-between of that, right? We know that that's a reality coming, but we're here in the present, we're in this world, but we're not really a part of this world, and so that's kind of a tension that we navigate, a difficulty that oftentimes that we feel challenged by. And that's why we've been talking about prayer, right? Because in this world where we're navigating this tension, where we're feeling like we want your kingdom to be real for us now, we want your rule to be real for us now, and those things are very possible. Yet we also find that we face challenges, we face difficulties, we face lost jobs, and on and on and on. And so it's in those times that we really, especially in pivotal times, that we need God's guidance and God's direction. We need him to speak to us. We need him to encourage us along the journey. And that's really why we've been doing this study on the Lord's Prayer. That when everybody else is looking to the left for direction or looking for the right for the direction, as followers of Jesus Christ, we look up. We ask God, we need you, your wisdom. We need your guidance. We need your direction. And so in this process, we start out by saying, Our Father. So the Lord's Prayer starts. That's how it starts, Our Father. And it's establishing a relationship. How we approach the basis. It's the basis for why we pray. We're praying to our Father. It's not a business partnership. It's not a transaction that we're conducting with God where, you know, I give, you know, like a business partnership where, you know, there's mutual benefit. I give a little bit to God. He gives a little bit back to me. Hopefully, he gives a little bit more back to me than what I give to him. That's how we often operate. When we think of this, when we think of our relationship with God as a sort of a business partnership type of thing. But that's not how it is. That's not what God wants. He wants an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And so this relationship that we have is not based on what we bring to him. It's not based on what we offer. It's based on this relationship that he is our Father. We are his sons. We are his daughters. And so because of that, in prayer, we come into the family room. Like maybe many of you during Thanksgiving, maybe you had kids who were living away from home, and they came home, and they walked into your room, into your family room, and they didn't go like, our Father, Dad, Mr. Green. You know, they didn't do that. They walk in and say, Dad, Father, that's the relationship. And that's the kind of relationship that God's inviting us into. He's our Father. And then last week, we talked a little bit about inviting his kingdom to be a present reality in the here and now. And although that's imperfect now, we still have glimpses of it. There's glimpses of his kingdom in the here and now. There's a lot of evil. There's a lot of things that do not represent his kingdom, but there are things that do represent his kingdom that we feel and we sense, right? See, the kingdoms of this world stand in stark contrast to the kingdom of God. In the kingdoms of this world, power is the driving force. And so you advance through power. You advance through domination. You advance through takeover. That's how you advance in the kingdoms of this world. But in the kingdom of God, you advance through service. That's interesting that that's how you advance. In the kingdom of God, we walk the extra mile. In the kingdom of God, we do something really crazy and we pray for our enemies. That's just unheard of in this world, and yet that's the realities of the kingdom of God, that we pray for our enemies. And I know that as I say that, some of you are like, well, I'll never do that. I'll never pray. I hate that guy, or I hate my neighbor. He just keeps mowing my grass, and I don't want him to mow my grass. I don't know. He may not be your enemy, but whatever. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about praying for your enemies or praying for those who persecute you. So in God's kingdom, we live by a different drumbeat. And when we do that, we're inviting the kingdom of God to be a present reality in the here and now. We're saying, God, we want what's up there real to be real down here among us. And it takes responsibility on our part to live it out as well, right? So we talked about that last week. Well, today Jesus invites us to pray the dangerous part of this prayer that we're studying, the Lord's Prayer. It says in Matthew 6:9, our Father in heaven, that's where we've been. We talked about the fatherliness of God, hallowed be your name, the holy otherness of God, how God is amazingly great. He doesn't see time the way we see time. We see time as unfolding moment by moment. That's how we see time. We're not really capable of looking beyond that, but God sees all of time, all at the same time. We can't, he can. And because he can, we're able to trust him with decisions. We're able to trust him with guidance and direction for our life, even though it seems a little, and it's kind of pertinent to what we're going to talk about today, even though it seems a little bit kind of crazy what God might say. So when God told us in 1990, hey, we want you to basically uproot your family and move to the country of Bangladesh, that was kind of crazy. That was strange, but because he is holy other, because he is great and mighty, we can actually trust him and say, okay, we know that you have our best interest in mind, that we can't trust you in this decision. So hallowed be your name. That's, we've talked about that. We've talked about your kingdom come. We just discussed a little bit of it. But here's that last part of that verse that we're gonna talk about today. It's kind of a dangerous prayer. Your will be done. I know we probably think, is it a dangerous prayer? What do you mean dangerous prayer? I know this prayer. I've memorized this prayer. I know this prayer. And so for most of us, when we pray, your will be done, what that means to us is, God, we want your will as long as it fits within my will. I want your will. You know, as long as your will is good and I like it, let's go with that. And really what we're telling God is, God, I come to you and I pray your will be done. But really what I'm really saying, God, is here's what I really want to do, and I just want you to bless what I want to do. That's really how we pray. And that's really how we oftentimes approach God. And most of us, especially as we think of the Lord's Prayer, that piece, your will be done, we oftentimes think about God's specific will for my life. What does God want me specifically to do? That's often how we think of the will of God. Is his specific will for me right now. Turn left, turn right, marry that person, don't marry that person, go to this college, you know, whatever. And as a pastor, that's what I often hear. Those are the questions I often field, is when somebody says, I really want to know what God's will is for my life. And what they're saying to me is, I want to know what person I should marry, what college I should go to, what, you know, what house should I buy or not buy, or what, whatever, you know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for God's specific will for mine. We tend to think of God's will as something very specific, very personal, of what is happening right now in front of me. That's what we're thinking about. And we don't tend to think very much about the big picture of God's will. So when you pray, your will be done, there's a few things we need to consider. What does that mean? First of all, you're praying your will be done is a request for information. So when you're saying, God, I want to know your will, is you're asking for information about what God, you know, what may be hidden from you right now, but God knows it, but you don't really know it. And so you say, God, I want information. I need to know what to do. I'm not sure what to do. Will you tell me what to do? We're looking for information. fact, some of you might be here right now, and that's why you're here. Because you're looking for information. You want God to tell you what to do next. Maybe you're sitting next to that person that you would think you really, really like, and you want to marry that person, but you're looking for information on whether you should marry that person or not. I want information, God. Will you just tell me? Will you give me a word? And I think many of you are probably at that point in your life, right? Maybe there's a big decision that needs to be made. There's a pivotal moment in your life, and you're asking God for information. Now, what's interesting is that information is really a big deal for us. We're an information-saturated society. In fact, if we combine all of the information that you've received through education, every one of us in this room, if we combine all, we could fill dozens and dozens and dozens of books with information that we've all received. I read recently the New York Times, the daily edition. So the daily edition is a smaller version of the weekend edition. The New York Times daily edition has more new information in the daily edition than what the average 17th century person would get in their entire lifetime. So a person would live 50, 65, 70 years, maybe not 70, but they would live, say, 60 years or 65 years in the 17th century. And what they would receive in information over the course of their entire life, you can read in one daily edition of the New York Times. We're an information-saturated society. And not only do we want more information, but we want information now, right? That's why we have Siri. We want it now. Can't wait. You know, we don't have time to pull out a map, try to figure out, get directions. We don't have time for that. We don't have time to, you know, go read a book about it. We just want it now. I think oftentimes that's how we approach God in prayer. That's what our prayer life looks like, right? We want God to answer all of our problems, give us all the answers, and fix our life in a 30-minute episode. I just come to you, God, and you just fix it. Take care of it. So we're focused on God's specific will for our life. But see, if you type in the will of God in the Bible, what you'll often find, or even through Google, you'll often find that what most theologians refer to the will of God is really not your specific direction in life, but really the revealed will of God. What it means is that it's not about so much about, hey, yeah, God wants to tell you where you should go next or what you should do next, but rather as you're going through life, this is who you should become. And as you're becoming that, you might make a left turn, you might make a right turn. It's really about who you are becoming. In fact, the revealed will of God is not so much specific to any one person. It's specific to all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. And it's right here in the Word of God. That's the revealed word. That's the revealed will of God for us. God has told us already how to live. Now, so the question really is, am I more concerned about God's specific will for my life, or am I more concerned about His revealed will for my life? A few things to consider about the specific will of God versus the revealed will of God is, number one, the more committed you are to God's revealed will, what God has already said you should do or not do, and we know it, the more clearly you will be able to discern His specific will. The more committed you are to God's revealed will, the more clearly you'll be able to discern His specific will, right? The more you're walking in God's revealed will, the more likely you're going to be able to make the next right turn. Right, not like right turn, but the next correct turn. Because you understand His revealed will for your life, right? That's how we operate. But see, if you're rejecting God's revealed will for your life, if God has already said, do this, don't do that, and then you reject that, but then you come to God and say, God, hey, will you tell me who I should marry? Or God, will you tell me whether I should buy that car or not? Will you tell me? You're asking for the specifics, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're not gonna do what God's already told you to do, why would you do what God later tells you to do specifically, right? So that's the tension there between God's revealed will and God's specific will for our life. There's a lot that is God's revealed will. I said at the beginning of the message here that as in the kingdom of God, we are commanded, called to pray for our enemies, for example, right? Pray for your enemies. I mean, that's the revealed will of God. Pray for those who persecute you. And this is true. I mean, this is true in the early church, you know, when Peter tells the church, hey, you know, pray for those in leadership. When he said pray for those in leadership, you know who he was talking about? He was talking about Nero, who was trying to kill the church, put them to death, and yet Peter says, pray for them. And so that's God's revealed will. And so as we are seeking guidance in life, I might say, hey, so how are you doing on that? How are you doing about praying for your enemies? Praying for those who persecute you? How are you doing in that? Because if you're not doing that, then why are you even going to ask me about the girlfriend you have and you'd like to marry her, you know? Thankfulness is another part of God's revealed will. The Bible tells us we just have thanksgiving. Kind of this is where it comes from. It says in all things, right? Be thankful in all circumstances of life. Good, bad, be thankful. In other words, as a Christ follower, our life is not meant to be this roller coaster ride where we're thankful only when everything is going good, but when things aren't going good, we're just grumpy and angry and nobody wants to live with you because everything is so bad. That's not the roller coaster, you know, that's not the life that as a Christ follower we're supposed to be living. That really we're supposed to be thankful in all circumstances of life. Now, Damien, you sent me that text a couple days ago. I needed to hear that. So how are we doing in that? That's his revealed will. He's already told us to do it, right? Bible also talks about fleeing from sexual immorality. That's his revealed will. You just read it. It's right there. It tells everybody flee from sexual immorality. But if that's something you're not walking in, maybe worse yet, you're not necessarily fleeing it. You're actually walking towards it. Like it might even be on your calendar, not literally on your calendar, not like you look at your calendar and it says sexual immorality, not that, but it's on your, there's a plan, right? You're walking in that direction, that's what you plan on doing. It doesn't make any sense that if that's how you're living, to then say, God, can you enlighten me about my dating relationship, when really God wants to, he's already enlightened you. He says, flee sexual immorality. He's already told you what to do, right? Or how about finances? I mean, the Bible talks a lot about finances. His revealed will is that we give generously to those who are in need. His revealed will is that we tithe regularly, right? He's already told us what to do there, and so there's no question about what we should do when it comes to finances. And certainly when you come to God, if you're not doing if you're rejecting what he's already revealed to you, but then you come and say, God, I really want you to bless this business deal or bless that. You know, it's really hard to pray that prayer when you're not really following the revealed will of God. So there's a lot in God's word that we should obey, that we should do, that's considered his revealed will, that we don't have to pray about. We don't have to ask God whether we should do this or not. It's already been told we should do it. And if we do that, if we walk in that, I'm going to tell you, it's a secret to understanding guidance and discerning guidance in your life is say, God, I'm going to devour this book and I'm going to let this book be my guide in every aspect of my life. And if I do that, it's not hard to know which way to turn. It's not hard to know which way to go. You already know 95% of the answers are already here. It's that 5% that we have quandary over, and here's the problem. We have quandary over the 5% when there's the 95% that we may not even be doing, or say 60% or 40% that we're not doing. It's the revealed will of God. Another aspect of the specific versus the revealed is God's specific will never violate his revealed will. God's specific will never violate his revealed will. God will never tell you, hey, I want you to turn right when the scriptures have already told you turn left. That'll never happen. That's not because you know, we have we're sticklers about what the Bible says. Because that God doesn't violate his own word. He doesn't go against what he's already said is right or wrong or good or bad. He'll never violate his revealed will. There's a false teaching out there right now that's kind of becoming popular, especially as society is shifting and changing. It's called progressive theology. And in progressive theology, what happens is, and I'm speaking about it in a blanket way. I know there's variations of it, and some of them are not so bad necessarily, but in progressive theology, what the issue is here is that you interpret the scriptures through the lens of culture. And so what happens is you take the Bible and you're reading the Bible and you overlay what everybody else in culture feels and thinks about the issue. And then you realize that, wow, what God says in the Bible is pretty hard or offensive or different or whatever. And so we say to ourselves in progressive theology, well, certainly that was written thousands of years ago, so it must have been for somebody else and for something else, and not really for us. It doesn't really apply to us that way. I know God's word says that, but that's not really what God means for us. And so what we do is we take God's word, what he's already said to us, and we try to shape it and mold it to make it more palatable for us. And we allow it to kind of shape our lives. And then of course, there's others who agree with us on the issue, and then say, wow, yeah, this is what everybody believes, when it's not exactly what the scriptures teach. And so God's specific will never, ever violate his revealed will. Another aspect of this is God's specific will for your life can be multiple choice. God's specific will for your life can be multiple choice. I'm going to let that sink in for a little bit, because sometimes those people who are thinking about what is your will, and you're not sure what your will is, and now I just threw you for a loop, because you're like, what, it's multiple choice? Come on, that's not fair. I want one answer, not four or five. I want one, right? But it can be multiple choice, and there's a lot of freedom when we discover that. See, I think the problem is when it comes to understanding and discerning God's will, we get caught up in, do I go left? Do I go right? We're waiting for God to say, hey, okay, now turn right. Okay, now stop. So, okay, stop. Okay, now turn left. And we turn left. That's what we're waiting for, right? And we know that the Holy Spirit guides us through life. And oftentimes, the Holy Spirit does guide us, you know, going through life this way. But in terms of choices and decisions you make in life, it's not always, there is only one out there in the entire universe. And if you miss it, boy, you missed it. Oftentimes, it's multiple choice. And what I think God is saying is that as long as you're faithful to the revealed will of God, if you say, God, I, you've told me a lot how to live, and I'm going to follow that, I'm going to be faithful to that, that as you make choices in life, God can use those choices you make so that you get to the end that God has designed for your life and God's purposes get accomplished through your life. I think a good example of that is Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? Because God comes, I'm paraphrasing, but God comes and says, okay, I have created tens of thousands of trees, fruit trees out there. And guys, Adam and Eve, you guys can eat any fruit from any tree you want. It's your choice. You choose. You take whatever you want. You can have it. There's one right over here. Don't mess with it. But every other tree you can eat from, it's your choice. And I think oftentimes that's really what it is. But I think sometimes we complicate it, right? We complicate God's will. I know people that have been paralyzed in life because they said, God, your will be done. God, your will be done. God, your will be done. But the stars didn't align right. The door didn't shut right. I just knew this was God's will, and then that person looked at me kind of strange, and this can't be God's will, you know, and they just get derailed, and they live paralyzed, seeking, wanting to know, what is God's will, what is God's will, what is God's will? Some of the saddest stories I know that I've experienced as a missionary, traveling from church to church and speaking in different churches as a missionary. I would speak, and after the service, somebody would come up to me, almost, not every time, but almost every time, somebody would come up to me, you know, I was called once to the mission field. They would say that. And I'm like, okay, wow, you know. I ask questions and I discover through asking these questions, I discover that, you know, they didn't get the stone tablets in the mail that they were expecting. They just knew that God would, because this was such a big decision, they just knew that God was going to give them the sign of the universe to reveal to them that this was the way they were supposed to go. And it never happened. And consequently, years passed. Most of these people were elderly people and would tell me this. And it's sad because they lived a life of regret. I mean, God gives us guidelines, but there's freedom, right? I mean, his specific will for your life will never, never, never violate his revealed will, but there is freedom. You can make a choice. So when you pray, your will be done. First of all, you're praying for information. Secondly, you're praying, when you pray your will, but you're praying your will be done, is to surrender your own will. You surrender your own will. You can't say to God, your will be done, without also releasing your own will, right? So essentially, when you're saying, your will be done, what you're in fact saying is, God, I want what you want. And I'm going to pause there for a second and ask you, is that how you pray? God, I want what you want. I'm guilty. I have the, like I said, the emergency prayer, the drive-up window prayer. God, I need this right now. Will you please do this for me? That's often how I pray. And once in a while, I get reoriented. I realize I have to come back to God and say, God, but really, I want what you want. That's hard for us, actually. Because when we say your will be done, what we really mean is, God, I want what you want if what you want is I like. And if I like it, then let's go with that. But God, if I don't like it, then I'm not sure I really want what you want. Because I'm not sure. That's often how we approach this idea of your will be done. I mean, think about if you had a friend invites you out to eat, and your friend says, hey, your turn, you pick. Wherever you want to go, you pick. You're like, okay, great, let's go out to eat. How about barbecue tonight? And your friend's like, oh, dude, I just had barbecue last night. Okay, all right, fine. How about Mexican food? Oh, man, Mexican food, that's indigestion, spicy. Man, just kind of messes my stomach. I'm not sure about that. Okay, fine. Greek food, how's that? You know, not so spicy. Oh, dude, too many onions and garlic. I can't eat Greek food. All right, fine. How about Thai food? Thai food is awesome. Let's do Thai food. But remember, you pick, so next time it's my turn to pick. And I know we laugh at that, but man, that's exactly how we approach God way too often. We come to God saying, God, here's what I really want. Will you please give me what I really want? And we pray, our prayer of your will be done is really a prayer saying, God, will you please make me feel good about what I've already decided I want to do in life? There's no better example of a surrendered will and what it looks like than when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays to his father, says, Abba, Father, take this cup from me. Because he knew that going to the cross meant he had to bear the sins of the world. He wasn't afraid of death. Jesus was not afraid of death. That wasn't what that prayer in the garden, we oftentimes interpret, oh, he didn't want to die. No. He didn't want to have to carry the guilt and shame of not only everybody who has died before him, but everybody who would die in the future. The heaviness of that, that's not something he wanted to carry. So was that what he wanted? To die on a cross? No. So this is what he prays. Father, if you are willing, there's word will there, if you're willing, take this cup from me. I don't really want this. So if you want to, if you're okay with it, will you take it from me? Is basically what he's saying. Yet, there's the key word. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus comes to the garden. And what does he do? He says, not what I want, what you want, God. And then lastly, praying your will be done is an unconditional commitment. This is what makes it dangerous, because you're saying, God, I want your will, but you don't really know what it is yet. That's what makes it dangerous. Makes it scary. It's kind of like a, you know, I know people that go into a restaurant and they sit down and the waiter walks up with the menus and they're saying, I don't need a menu. Whatever you think is good, I'll take. And that I would never do that because that waiter may like liver and onions, and I hate liver and onions, so I'm picky. I'm like, I'm not eating. Yeah, what do you like? I'll ask, what do you think is good? And then when they say what they think is good, I'm like, yeah, I don't like that. So I'm going to do whatever I want. I have the veto. I get to choose what I want. So when you say your will be done, really it's kind of this unconditional commitment. That's really the picture of this prayer. Is you're saying to God, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. And that's risky because guaranteed some of the things that God wants for you, you're not going to want. It's a guarantee. It's just the way it is. There are people in this church that play football and may have even gone far in their football career and like the idea of playing football and like the sport, but start talking about two-a-days or three-a-days and they're like, they just cringe because, man, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. There are some things that God wants for you that you're not going to want. It's going to mess with your life. In fact, I could tell you of a couple who had their retirement planned out. Their will was that they were going to retire, and then they planned for this. They saved money for this, and they were going to visit all of their grandkids spread out the United States, visit all their grandkids. They had young grandkids. Visit all their grandkids, and then in the wintertime, they were going to go south, and they were going to spend their winter months in the warm climate. That's their plan. In fact, there's probably, after first service, I said that, and there was a few people came up to me, yeah, that's my plan too. Hadn't changed yet. You know, that's their plan. But this couple was a couple that he was a pastor up in Minnesota, and he was accustomed to saying, God, your will be done, your will be done, your will be done. And so one day, as he was praying, your will be done, the Lord just said, this is what I want for you. This is what I want. And what I want you to do is I want you to spend your retirement years in Thailand rescuing, working for the Justice Project, rescuing young kids from human trafficking. And all that money you've saved up, it's going to pay for plane fares back and forth, and it's going to pay for, you know, living in that country. It's kind of expensive to live there. It's going to pay for all that. But that's what I want for you. And that's what they're doing right now. Even our own children's pastor and her husband, newly married. And their prayer is, God, your will be done. Your will be done. And so that prayer turned into two little toddlers, Alex and Cody. They became instant parents of toddlers. Two. And they would tell you it's a blessing, but they know, and they will also tell you it's hard. It's hard sometimes. But it's, God, your will be done. I can tell you of people that I know, that a person that I know that was about to make a big purchase. They were driving on the way to buy this car that they've always dreamed of having, and they heard on the radio that there were children that were starving to death in Africa that needed food. And in their mind, they're like, no, I'm going to buy a car. I'm going to buy a car, you know. And so they're driving, and they started, but see, the from the drive of where they were to where they heard this and to where they were getting to the place where they're going to buy the vehicle was enough time for them to do the math in their head. And they realized that for what they were going to spend in a monthly payment, they could feed 20 kids a month for a long, long time. And so they changed their mind, and now they write a check every month to... I don't remember the name of the program, the organization, to feed kids. Let me tell you, when you start praying, your will be done, it can be a dangerous prayer. When you say, God, I want what you want, that can be a dangerous thing. But you know what? Every single person I mentioned here, they'll all tell you the same thing. Something mysterious happens when you say, I want what you want. Because you say that, and initially God says, this is what I want for you. And you're like, really, God? I don't know if I want to do that. It's not what you want initially. But as you keep walking in this desire to say, God, I want what you want, here's what happens. You come to a place where you realize, I can't possibly live without this. This is life to me, to do what God wants and to know that I am fulfilling his will in my life. So that's our prayer as a church. All right? That we would pray, God, your will be done. Not that we're trying to get God to get our will to, for God to align with our will, but rather we're aligning our lives to his. And so whatever you want is what we want, even though right now we're not sure we really want that, but what you want, that's what I want, God. That's what I want. I realize there's some of you here right now that maybe you got saved, you gave your life to Christ later in life. Maybe you look back at your past and you say, there was a time when I wasn't really even serving God and I made a right turn. And I know in hindsight now, if I look back at that decision, I realize that God probably, if I'd asked God, he probably would have said, no, make a left turn. And you might feel like a little bit of regret. You might feel like you missed the mark. You might feel like right now you're living this parallel life. You're on a highway where you're serving God. Now you're on this highway, but you're looking at another highway over there. You said, that's the highway I should have been on, but I'm on this highway now. And I wish I was over there, but I'm here. And that's how you're living your life. But that's what's so amazing about God's grace. Remember, we don't serve a God that's incapable. We serve a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever think or ask. That's the God that we serve. And so really the decision right now, for those of you that might be here saying, I'm living with this regret, I missed the mark, I should have turned left instead of turning right, whatever it is for you right now to say, God, I want what you want. And God could take your life. He is more than capable to take your life and form it and fashion it in such a way that at the end of your life, his purposes, his designs, his will for your life gets accomplished. And you live a fruitful, you live a full life. But it starts with this prayer of surrender right now. God, I want what you want. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we're thankful for your goodness. We're thankful that you are present. We're thankful that we can actually pray and in prayer say, our Father, that we can appeal to the relationship that we have with you, God, that you are our Father. And as a Father, you're a good Father. You want to give us good gifts. You want to bless our lives. And so, Lord, we receive that. Lord, I know that there might be many people in this room right now that are in a quandary. They don't know whether they should turn left or turn right. They're looking for information. They're trying to decide, God, or discern, God, what is it that you want them to do? And God, I know, because you're a good Father, you'll give them that direction. But I think, Lord, the bigger question for all of us today that you're asking us is, are we walking in the revealed will of God? Are we walking in obedience to what he's already told us to do? And so, Father, I just pray that you'll challenge all of us to be obedient and to... for there to be this underlying prayer, God, I want what you want for me. I want what you want for me. Even though it might be scary at first, God, I want what you want for me. And follow you in obedience. And I thank you, God, that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the Life Church Podcast.